So last week, we began a series on being transformed. And the verse, our key verse for that series is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And hopefully by the end of the series, you will have memorized that passage, and we will hit parts of that again today. Do you ever think about your health, your physical health, as being a spiritual gift? The ability to wake up. I remember a couple of years ago when Rush Limbaugh was diagnosed with lung cancer, and I heard a clip made that announcement on the news of Rush, and he said, every day that I wake up, he said, the first thing I do is I thank God for another day. And do we do that? I mean, when we're sick and or when something happens that threatens our physical health, our attention immediately goes to thanking God for another day. But every day is a day worth thanking God for. I've heard people say that, you know, you ask them, how are you doing? And they say, well, I woke up on the right side of the dirt, so today's a good day. And that is a good day. However, for us as believers, when we wake up on the other side of the dirt, that'll be a great day too. Amen? Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about our physical health, but we don't preach about it too much in churches, and that's probably because we have so many potluck dinners that you know we don't want to make people feel guilty. I remember going to my grandmother's funeral, and afterwards, of course, as in all good funerals, they put out a spread for people to eat. I'm not sure what the tradition is with that, but anyways, it's something that we do. And so they asked me if I would do the blessing. And I said, sure. And it was in a United Methodist Church, and they had put on a good spread. But one thing I noticed about the United Methodist Church is they have a beautiful symbol that for their church. They have a beautiful logo, and you know, it's the cross and the flame, and it's really quite nice. And unfortunately, the United Methodist Church is in turmoil now due to cultural issues, but that's another topic. But anyways, I mentioned that I love the symbol for the United Methodist Church. And I said that if our church were to have a symbol, I don't think it would be as beautiful, but I think it would be a bucket of chicken. That would be the symbol for our church. Because we like to eat and we enjoy those things that God has provided us. And 3 John 1 and 2, the Bible actually says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And so here in this passage of Scripture, this greeting from the Apostle John, he says that I'm concerned about your physical health as much as I am about your spiritual health, about the health of your soul. And the Bible has a lot to say about our physical health, and we're not going to cover most of that this morning. But I do want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which has a lot to say about the body, because I believe that physical health is a spiritual discipline. It's not as paid attention to or given as much attention as perhaps it should, but we're gonna do our best this morning. So let's read 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you with a high price. So honor God with your body. This is what God has to say about our body. And you say, well, how does he say that? He says that through his word. And so we're going to look at a few things that God has to say about our physical body, our physical health, and about being transformed physically. The first thing is this: my body is God's property. My body is God's property. That is not a very popular thought. It's not a very contemporary thought today. We'll hear the phrase, particularly as the verdict, the early decision was leaked by someone, a staffer in the Supreme Court, about the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade. You'll hear people say, it's my body, my choice. That is incorrect. It is not your body, and it is not your choice. My body is God's property. He is the one who created you. He is the one who gave you life. In Psalm 139, 13 and 14, for you made the parts inside me. You put me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you, for the greatness of the way I was made brings fear. Your works are great, and my soul knows it very well. God created you. Your body does not belong to you. Now, number two, God expects me to manage my body. Another word for that is stewardship. God expects me to manage my body or to be a steward of my body, just like everything that you have been given actually is given to you by God. So the breath that you have in the next couple of seconds is given to you by God. Your body is given to you by God. You are a creation of God. You're not a mistake. You're not a happenstance. You're not a result of a big bang or a blob or anything like that, or evolution. You are created by God, and he created you in your mother's womb. He knit you together. He knows you better than anyone else would know you. And so your body is a gift from God, just like your opportunities are a gift from God. And we don't have a problem saying, oh, make the most of every opportunity, because that, you know, that's a popular thing to say. Oh, you have opportunities, make the most of them. You have a physical body, make the most of it. You have financial resources that God has given you, make the most of it. Be good stewards of everything that God has given you. We are God's property, and he expects us to manage our body. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, and there it says, I must not become a slave to anything. So what are you a slave to? What might you be a slave to? You think about that for a moment. Well, I'm not a slave to anything. No? Well, what habit do you have that you would like to quit? And then tell me you're not a slave to it. It's difficult. It's extremely difficult. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to stay away from sweets, that's an extremely difficult thing to do. If you're trying to quit smoking, that is an extremely difficult thing to do. If you're trying to, you can name it, whatever you find to be addictive, whatever you want to quit, you are a slave to until you master it, until you overcome it. And the Bible says that we are not to become a slave to anything. We've seen the worst, and here's how we justify our experience, or how we justify those things that we might be a slave to. So, for example, we'll say, "Well, okay, I might be addicted to sugar, or I might be addicted to carbs, but at least I don't smoke." Or, you know, I might be addicted to alcohol, but at least I don't do drugs. I draw the line there. As though being one kind of slave is better than being another slave. A slave is a slave. And so whatever it is that that overpowers us, whatever it is that causes us to lose self-control and not be able to manage discipline, we are a slave to. You can go the opposite extreme, too. I don't think there's any danger of that here, but I mean, I know people have known people who became a slave to their bodies because they lifted weights, and so they just became addicted, really, to that adrenaline and to lifting weights and that stuff. And so once they began to bulk up and get some definition, what happened? They had to keep doing that, and they became a slave to it. Well, I don't think that here we have that problem of being a slave to exercise or weightlifting. I must not become a slave to anything. Here's the third thing the Bible has to say about our bodies. My body will be resurrected after I die. My body will be resurrected after I die. And God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. And so you ask yourselves, why would our bodies be resurrected? Our bodies will be resurrected and they will be made new. They will be perfectly transformed at that point. But why would our bodies be resurrected? Why would God care? I'll tell you why he cares, because he created it. He created you and he cares about you. And just as he raised the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible promises that he will raise our body. Which indicates what? That our bodies do not belong to us. We cannot raise ourselves from the dead. Nor can we keep ourselves from dying when our time is up. Nor can we extend our life by one day. You say, well, you know what? I'm going to get healthy and extend my life. The reality is God knew that before you did it. And so your day, your final day, your final breath has been predetermined by God. And there is nothing that you can do to change it. You say, well, I'm going to go out and jump in front of the car, and that'll change it. No, God knew you were going to do that. So you're not changing him. You're not surprising him. Our bodies will be resurrected after we die. Why? Because they belong to God. And number four, my body is connected to the body of Christ. My body is connected to the body of Christ. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Verse 15. Our bodies are part of Christ. What we do with our body matters to Christ. It's interesting that when he walked this earth, he did a lot of healing. And we would think that he would be primarily concerned about our spiritual well-being. And so what was important to him was that we, you know, believe that he was the Son of God, that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, and that we placed our faith and trust in him. But he also walked around healing and showing compassion and love. Why? Because he cares. He cares about our physical well-being. He cares about our bodies because we are connected to the body of Christ. And later on in Corinthians, Paul talks about the body of Christ, the church, and how each of us play a part in it, play a role in it, and that we are connected to the body of Christ and we are the bride of Christ. And someday he will return for his bride and we will meet him in the air. Our body is connected to the body of Christ. Number five, the Holy Spirit lives in my body. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? It is his dwelling place. It is his house. It is interesting, as you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that Moses was commanded to build the what? The tabernacle. The movable structure that went with them as they wandered through the desert on their way to the promised land. They were given specific instructions for the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was set up outside the camp. And so Moses would get up and he would go to the tabernacle to meet with God. And so that was the structure in the Old Testament. Then when they took occupation of the promised land, what were they instructed to do then? They moved from a tabernacle to a temple. And Solomon was given instructions regarding building the temple. And so he built the temple. And the temple was where what? Where people went to sacrifice and to meet with the priests who were representatives of God. Then in the New Testament, they still had the temple. But when Christ died, what happened in the temple? The curtain, which you entered, the veil that kept you from the priesthood, that kept you from the presence of God, was torn. And therefore, we were able to enter into what was considered the Holy Holies, the Holy of Holies, the holy place. Because why? Because that barrier, that veil, had been removed. And so what is the temple now? This isn't the temple. You are the temple. I am the temple. Our bodies are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, lives in us, and therefore we don't need a priest. We don't need a building. We don't need a structure to meet with God. You don't have to come here to meet with God. You can meet with God here, but you don't have to. Notice I said to meet with God. You need to come here to meet with other believers because that's what Christ has commanded us to do, what the Bible has commanded us to do. God wants us to what? To grow in community, all right? Spiritual growth only happens in, happens best in community. And so we have a structure so that we can what? So that we can gather together. But you can do that in a house. You can do that really in any physical structure that would allow believers to gather together can be what we would consider a church. But it is not the temple. The temple is the Holy is our bodies, and that is where the Holy Spirit dwells. Don't you know that you are the house of God and that the Holy Spirit lives in you? If any man destroys the house of God, God will destroy him. God's house is holy. You are the place where he lives. It's found in 1 Corinthians 3:16 in the New Living Version. A couple of things it says there. If a man destroys the house of God, God will destroy him. In our country and in other places around the world, churches have been burned and destroyed primarily as a statement, maybe against religion. I know in the nearby town where I grew up, in the town of Walton, the Baptist church there, the First Baptist Church, was set on fire. It was an old wooden structure, and it burned really hot and it burned quickly. But it was determined that it was set on fire, but it was arson. It was set on fire by a Satanist who, I guess, wanted to see it burn. I don't know. And when we hear that, we would think, oh, that's awful. That is horrible. Or when you hear of a historic black church in the South being desecrated, being vandalized, we think, oh my goodness, that is a horrible thing. Or when we hear of churches being burned, that is a horrible thing. And yet, and it says here that if any man destroys the house of God, God will destroy him. God's house is holy. You are the place where he lives. So what does that say about your house, about your physical body? It is holy. It is holy. What does holy mean? Does it mean it's perfect? No. It means it's set apart unto God. Our bodies are to be set apart unto God. So therefore, we are to abstain from those things that would desecrate, that would vandalize God's holy place. And so just as you might get angry or be upset about a physical church building being destroyed or being vandalized or whatever, so we ought to also be concerned and depressed and upset about our physical bodies being destroyed. Because why? Because they are the holy place. They are the place where the Spirit dwells. God's house is holy, and you are the place where he lives. And so, just by way of review, my body is God's property. God expects me to manage. He's given my body, our bodies to us to manage. Our bodies will be resurrected after we die. Our bodies are connected to the body of Christ. The Spirit lives in my body. And number six, Jesus bought my body on the cross. Perhaps a better way to say that is he redeemed your body on the cross. So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? He came to redeem us. He came to defeat the power of sin and death. And so he bought our bodies back. Just like when you redeem a empty, worthless soda can. What happens is that soda manufacturers buy that can back. And there's really not much value in it. I mean, because the good inside of it is gone, but yet they pay a price to get it back. The same is true with us. We're empty. There's nothing good in us. And yet Jesus Christ bought us back. He paid a much greater price than 5 cents. He paid with his life. And so because he gave his life to purchase us back from sin and death, we ought to therefore want to honor him by giving our bodies over to him. Jesus bought my body on the cross. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We think of coming to Sunday to worship, and the worship is what we do. We sit and we pray, and we stand and we sing, and we sit and we listen, and we contribute, and we fellowship, and we say, oh, we have been to worship. But every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of worship. And if you just come to worship God on a Sunday, then you are missing the point of worship. Every day is a day of worship. And so what we do with our bodies throughout the week, the other 6 days, 6.5 days of the week is an act of worship. Why? Because our bodies belong to God. God bought us with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore our proper act of worship is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. God died. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we might live. And so what? So we're not asked to die for Him. We're asked to live for Him. Many of us will say, oh, yeah, you know, if it came right down to it, I would die. I would die for Christ. Really? But then why won't you live for Him? You would think that living for Him is a much less dramatic issue than dying for Him. But we can boldly claim, oh, I'd die for Christ. He's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to live for Him. And then John 5, 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? That's an interesting question. Here a man had spent his life being unable to get up. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, do you want to get well? I mean, you would think, well, no, duh. I mean, of course. But let's look at it much deeper. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Or have you grown so accustomed to lying there and you've grown accustomed to that lifestyle? You've grown accustomed and you've learned how to manipulate the system to condone your lifestyle and to support your lifestyle. Do you really want to get well? It's an interesting question. Because oftentimes, and I found this to be true in my work in with addiction and recovery, but it's also in other areas of life as well. Sometimes you go to help somebody and you can see the answer to their problem. And you can and they know the answer to the problem. And they'll tell you that they know the answer to the problem, but yet they won't do anything to solve the problem. Even though they know what to do, they don't do it. Paul said it best when he said, that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. It's part of our human nature. So do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I have struggled throughout my life with weight. At my heaviest, I was 265 pounds. And over the year, and I noticed this progression of where I went from 265 pretty consistently to about 250. And then was there for a while, and then to 240, and then to 230, and now at about 220, 222. And I would like to lose at least 22 more pounds. My wife's afraid that I'm going to get too skinny. I don't think there's really any danger of that. But I appreciate the thought and the sentiment. But I would like to. So I'm saying this to you publicly. I'm declaring a goal that by the end of September, I want to be down at least 22 pounds. So that's my three to four month physical health goal. And it's not just a matter of weight loss. It's a matter of the right diet and choosing what I eat. I'm in the second half the final quarter or whatever of my life. My daughter and son-in-law have provided me with new reasons to live and my grandkids. And so I want to be healthy. But I also want to recognize that I've been given a gift. And quite honestly, I've abused that gift. Maybe not to the extent of some, but it doesn't matter. It was still a gift. And so I at this point, I want to take advantage of an opportunity to get healthy. And so I'm sharing that with you and anybody who's watching out in the interweb, that's my goal. So you can hold me to it. And please don't tempt me by baking me cookies and things like that because you want to be kind to your pastor. Don't do that, please. So let me turn the tables. What is your 3 month physical health goal? You should have one. Because I can guarantee that there's probably one area of your life that where you have a bad habit. So by that, are you getting enough rest? Are you taking enough time off? Are you not overstressing yourself? Are you not overeating? Are you not indulging in things that are detrimental to your body? There's probably something. And so if we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that idea of a living sacrifice, it hurts. Someone once said, it's not a sacrifice if it doesn't hurt. And so it's going to hurt. But what's your 3 month physical health goal? I'm sure you have one. And just to make sure that you set one, we're not leaving until everybody stands up and tells us what it is. Oh, I'm just kidding. But I told you mine. And it's not a point of just knowing that information. I hope that you'll pray for me. I hope that you'll encourage me. And if you want to share with me or with somebody else your goal, if you share it with people, you're more likely to achieve it. So it doesn't have to be me, but you can share it with somebody who might hold you accountable, who might encourage you, who might pray for you. Because this body belongs to God. I've just been given this opportunity to manage it. Physical health is a spiritual discipline. Let's take it seriously. Father, we thank you for this word. Maybe it hurt a little more than others, other words that we've brought, but we pray, God, that we would recognize that our bodies belong to you, that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they are a gift from you, and that we are to maintain it, and that we are offer it back to you as a living sacrifice. So help us in this endeavor, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.